Hey, John Gilroy here. Some listeners to this podcast are managing compliance using old-fashioned systems like Excel and Word. Today, new and improved way from NIST. Hit the music, Manny. Welcome to the Federal Tech Podcast, the podcast that connects you to federal technology leaders. My name is John Gilroy, and I will be your moderator. In the virtual studio today, we have Volander Mangan. He is the CIO of a company called D as in Dog, DRT Confidence. Volander, how are you?
Doing great, John. How are you doing?
Wait a minute now. Excel and Word, when did they come out? 30 years ago? And people are using maybe pieces of paper. Maybe old Volander uses a clipboard and a piece of paper for compliance. Tell me it ain't so. Tell me it ain't so. Is that
It
true?
is so. It is so. 300 plus cloud service providers in the FedRAMP program. Yes, they're still submitting Word and Excel.
Wow, I can't believe it. Okay. I'll pull back the curtains. Today, we're going to talk about NIST. We're going to talk about a compliance method called OSCAL, OSCAL, and about DRT and how they can help you with compliance. And it really is hard to believe. I mean, you know, I was talking on the phone with someone who 30 years ago, they sold memory in packages and you'd plug them into the computer boards. And I said, boy, that's old fashioned. I used to use Excel back then. And that's the same. It's like buying memory and plugging it into your computer, isn't it, Volander? It's like a little outdated.
That's exactly right.
So let's set up the problem and what's NIST done to try to solve it. So NIST has seen this and they've seen, okay, we got all these different formats and people doing this. It's hard to monitor it. It's hard to update it. And so 2016, 2017, what has NIST come up with? The answer, huh?
Yes, that's right. It's OSCAL. And, you know, the germination of this really came out of FedRAMP. I mean, FedRAMP is currently authorized 350 plus commercial cloud service providers. And this list continues to grow at a pretty fiery pace.
Okay. No, I was just thinking that we have to define it. OSCAL, because some people might know it. I think it stands for Open Security Controls Assessment Language. Is that right?
That is correct.
Yeah, I don't want to lose our audience here. Okay, so NIST says we're confused with all your stupid spreadsheets and Word and monitoring, and so we'll come up with a better mousetrap. So the better mousetrap is this assessment language, right?
That is right. It's called the Open Security Controls Assessment Language, and it was drafted with NIST in collaboration with FedRAMP to really help FedRAMP automate and speed up their authorization process in a digital format. You know, back in the days, we used to file tax returns with IRS, right? And we used to write these in documents and we used to mail them. And they had to be stamped by the 15th of March. And, you know, and we've come a long way. Now you can just digitally submit your tax returns and within a matter of days, you know, you have your return check coming out. And that's really exactly the same thing. We want to be able to authorize cloud service solutions and conduct security assessments in an automated and digitized manner. And so that is what this standard brings to the table, is the interoperability between a lot of different organizations to be able to conduct this process fast, automated, in an efficient manner.
Now, I was thinking about that. I used to download PDFs and print them out and then handwrite them and put them in the U.S. mail. It just seems like this is a process many people are using. I like to cause it. This is a strange phrase. It's called the prison of familiarity. Well, Volander, we've always done it this way and it's always worked. Why should I go to drtconfidence.com and see what you folks have to offer? Well, they may have some motivation here, don't they?
Yes, they do, because, you know, yes, they're doing it in Word and Excel. They've done it for many years, but it's just not sustainable. You know, the rate at which threats are coming out, the rate at which things are going on, you just have to respond faster. You have to automate your risk management process. And so this is just not going to be sustainable.
Okay, Volander. And so if you go to the NIST site and you look about this assessment language, you may stumble on something called OMB. M2415. So what's this got to do with the discussion?
Yeah, so what's really going on at this point is, you know, FedRAMP was coded into law early last year, and thereafter, OMB has now instructed FedRAMP to really migrate all of their commercial solution provider, cloud service providers assessments over to the digital authorization format, particularly leveraging OSCAL. And so this directive really guides FedRAMP to start moving away from Word and Excel, go to an automated digitized format, which is selected to be OSCAL. It's not just saying automate. It is clearly directing FedRAMP to leverage OSCAL. It is also at the same time directing government agencies that sponsor and conduct the ATO for these cloud service providers. They should also get their GRC platforms tooled to OSCAL. So this is the directive to the government agencies. You've got to automate and you got to improve efficiency.
You know, you mentioned taxes before, and that's always a unpleasant topic. April 15th kind of looms over everyone's head. It's called a deadline. And I want to introduce the topic of a deadline. And you could be the bad guy here, Valander. You can just scream and yell at my audience and go, "You've got a deadline with this, don't you?"
Yes, you do. And so the OMB memo was issued on July the 25th, 2024. And so, as per the memo, FedRAMP has 18 months. That puts them around December 2025 to be able to fully tooled and ready to start receiving digital authorization packages. And likewise, U.S. federal government agencies that are sponsors and authorizing officials have 24 months, which puts them at July 2026 when they need to be fully tooled and start receiving OSCAL. So, yes, at the speed of government, these are not long timelines and you got to get going fairly quickly.
Well, if it's 24 months and we're already 4 months into it, clock's ticking here, isn't it? I mean, they're going to have to do something, aren't they? They just can't sit back and put their feet up and smoke a cigar. They're going to have to change.
That is right. And so FedRAMP has invested a few years into OSCAL. They're pretty much well on their way. They're conducting some pilot programs right now. They have a platform that is being configured underway. So they seem to be in pretty good shape to be able to get to the point of being able to receive digital authorizations. FedCiv agencies and AOs, not so much. They're still just getting to know about the memo. Some have been tracking to FedRAMP, some haven't. And they really are the first stop, you know. A cloud service provider has to submit their package to a federal government agency to get the first ATO. Once they have the first ATO, they then submit it to FedRAMP. So FedRAMP is really stop number two. Stop number one is a government AO, and they are the ones that really need to get ahead over here and get themselves tooled and ready for this.
Having a conversation with my son, he does kettlebells, and I always say, "Well, what's so good about kettlebells? He can give you 3 hours on it." So I'm gonna put pressure on you. So why OSCAL? Why OSCAL? What's so good about it?
Yeah, so what it really does is it allows you to take the data out of Word and Excel, allows you to put it in a standardized data format, and it's really for interoperability. One, you can automate the generation of this data, you can automate the submission of the data, and particularly FedRAMP is looking to automate the review and authorization process. So it really brings a lot of benefits to all of the stakeholders to really be able to transact in an interoperable digital manner and really reduce the turnaround time, which is the number one return that everybody's looking for. And that's really the value of OSCAL, a common language for data exchange across all of these stakeholders for RMF security authorizations.
So you talk to a lot of people in the industry, so do I. So what has the reaction been to this initiative?
Yeah, I think FedRAMP is doing a great job. I think FedRAMP has come along a long way, and they're really getting closer to be able to receive these authorization packages. On the commercial side, cloud service providers have a very good understanding that this is going to happen. They have been kind of timing themselves as to when they need to get started. We hear a lot of interest getting ready for 2025. They're starting to build it into their budgets, and they're trying to get ready for that as well. The government agencies are also starting their budgeting process. They're starting to see how they can acquire this such technology and get themselves ready. There's a lot of work going on at the ACT IAC Cyber COI. There was a paper published last year about how OSCAL and ATOS code can be adopted. And a second phase of that has kicked off, and that will be taking place this year to kind of help provide government agencies a little bit more guidance in terms of how do you select the right kind of platform for them.
Well, Valander, I think I spoke to you about a year ago, and this was kind of in the incipient stages. Now they're kind of working into it more and more. So can you tell me more about your work with FedRAMP?
Yes, sure. So on our side, you know, we worked with FedRAMP a year and a half ago. We have converted a full ATO package into OSCAL format, meeting all of the FedRAMP specifications. And we're proud to say we're still the first and the only organization that has done a full ATO package in OSCAL format. Having said that, we continue to work with FedRAMP to refine the specifications and really help build out the next generation platform with them. It's very important to know that, when we talk about OSCAL, the standard that NIST has authored, it's really meant to be cross-regulatory framework, which means it kind of stops at a certain point. FedRAMP has added a lot of extensions to OSCAL, and they've customized it for U.S. federal government use. So it's very important to know when we talk about OSCAL, we're talking about FedRAMP's version of OSCAL, which is what is relevant to all U.S. federal government agencies. So when they're looking for technologies and solutions, they really want to insist that, the platforms are supporting FedRAMP's version of OSCAL.
Let's talk about those federal agencies. How do they get started? I imagine some, this is breaking news for them. So how do they get started anyway?
Yeah, but I think the best way to get started at this point is, if you are a sponsoring agency and you're sponsoring a lot of commercial cloud service providers, you really are going through a lot of Word and Excel burden at this point. And it's best for you to get tooled so you can receive these packages in OSCAL format. One of the most important things for folks to consider is, it's easy to produce an artifact in OSCAL format, and there'll be a lot of folks that come along and say, we can produce it. The challenge here is ingestion. Ingestion of an OSCAL artifact is a little bit more complex. And in order to ingest a full ATO package, you really need to be able to correlate the data and have fully sanitized packages. The OMB memo is very specific in saying that you must be able to ingest, produce, and transmit. And so ingestion is not trivial and mostly overlooked by a lot of folks because they think, I just want to produce artifacts, which is yes. But from a federal government agency's perspective, they need to receive these artifacts. And so if they started off with a pilot program towards their sponsored CSP ATOs, that would be a good place to get started. And once you have that underway, you can then extend that to your internal FISMA applications, and you can start looking at the GRC functions you're performing there.
So, Valander, let's say someone's listening to this podcast and they're in the metro going to work or something, going downtown. Who knows where they're going in the metro, and they want to get more information. I think your company, DRT Conference, has some training available. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. So we do offer OSCAL training, for folks to be able to kind of understand what is it, how does it work, why is it important. And we also offer a lot of proof of concepts if folks just want to dabble in it. We're launching a beta program for FedCiv government agencies to be able to trial the whole CSP authorization process with the digital package and be able to see how this works and kind of experience it firsthand. So yes, if they were to reach out to us, we'd be happy to help them, participate in any of those.
And if you are in the metro listening to this, I will put the link in the show notes. It's drtconference.com/solutions/OSCAL training, OSCAL. But I'll put that link in the show notes so you just click on it and get more information. So before this interview, we were testing the microphones and going back and forth. And I'm doing through my notes going, oh my goodness, Valander, we got more acronyms we can count on this one. And I don't want to, bore people start turning us off when we get to too many acronyms. I'm gonna throw out some acronyms to put Valander to sleep here, or maybe I don't know. There's SOC 2, there's HIPAA, there's HITRUST. I mean, there's other compliance requirements that people have to worry about, aren't there?
Yes, there are, particularly commercial cloud service providers and even some government systems that do, cater to PII or PHI. They do have to support other frameworks as well. And that's the beauty of OSCAL. It can be extended to support all of the other frameworks as well in the near future.
I'm going to introduce you a podcasting term. It's not a technical, it's called podfade. PODFAD, podfade. What happens is, people like my son got an idea for a podcast about bowling, and then they do two episodes and they fade away. So if there are 3 million podcasts out there are only about 300,000 that have more than 10 episodes. It's called podfade. And can happen in standards too, can't it? And so what is the future of OSCAL? Is it going to fade away? Does it have, that staying power to get to 10 podcast episodes or so what do you predict is going to happen with it? Is it good enough to stay? Is it flexible and desirable enough for people to use?
Yes, absolutely. I think the number one driver here is really the use case that U.S. federal government wants to automate and digitize this process. And that is really the fundamental driver. And the OMB memo explicitly calling out OSCAL is kind of putting that marker right there. But we've worked with OSCAL for 3 years. We've worked with FedRAMP. We've done a real ATO package, and we can tell you that yes, it serves all of the needs that you have in order to digitize an ATO package for US federal government. It is also getting adoption internationally. You know, the Australian government has published their security controls in OSCAL format. There's a lot of projects going on in the financial space in the Europe to be able to look at OSCAL as a standard. And so, yes, it is being adopted across the board, and it's going to be here for a while.
Yeah, we talked about 30 years ago. Back in 2000, they had this thing called Y2K, and people were worried about it. And then all of a sudden, they got real interested close to the deadline. And I would think that I'm going to put OSCAL in the headline of this. And then probably in 3 or 4 months, there'll be more people going to be searching for it. And then in about a year, more and more people will be searching for it. But the clock's ticking, and it's coming down the road, you know? I think one of the benefits of this that people should understand is that it allows for automation. Finally, you don't have to have 5 or 6 different ways to submit something. You can automate it. And you can this elusive concept called, you know, continuous improvement, continuous monitoring can take place. And I think that's what, you know, back in 2016, 8 years ago, when this initiative started, I think that's what they had in mind, didn't it?
That's exactly right. You know, the idea is, you know, not to have to assess a system in a given time slice because it's only as good as that. Particularly cloud systems, you know, their inventory is kind of obsolete after you just scanned it. And so you really need to get to the point that you are continuously monitoring everything. And it's very hard to do that in Word and Excel. You really need an automated platform that's kind of plugs into your DevSecOps pipeline. And OSCAL is the data fabric that's going to allow you to be able to do that because it's a multi-stakeholder model, right? It's not just one party that's going to figure it all out. There's a lot of players. And for different players to be able to jive and talk together, you need a common language. And that's what it is.
PRT confidence. So how can you help my listeners? You can help federal agencies and other companies as well, I would assume.
Yes, we're supporting commercial companies that are either already FedRAMP authorized or looking to get FedRAMP authorized. We're also supporting U.S. federal government agencies that are starting in this journey right now. You know, they've been looking at it for a couple of years. I think the general awareness of OSCAL is pretty high at this point. Everybody knows what it is. They want to work on it. Everybody's just trying to figure out how do we go about it. And that's kind of where we come in. We've done a lot of this work, and we can really help show you how it can be used.
Yeah, I think the fact that you're offering training just to get some of these terms down and understand it and better because it's like, you know, you're in a tunnel and that train's coming. And, you know, if it's 18 months out for first level and then 24 months out, I mean, 4 months have gone by, that train's getting closer and closer. And so the idea is you get out of the way or something's going to happen here. Valander, you're going to be the most popular guy in town probably in 22 months or something, huh?
Well, we hope so, but we are really looking forward to this. You know, training is very important because, you know, it's very important to understand what you're implementing, how it works, you know, beneath the surface. And that's really very important. And so our training is solely focused on US federal government folks, really helping them understand what this is and how to go about acquiring it. And so, yes, we're really looking forward to supporting them.
Speaking of looking forward, this podcast will be released in the middle of January, and this will be just like a, you know, a little first stepping stone into what this is all about. And we're going to go into deeper depth into more about automation, more about the different levels. I mean, this is going to be a 4 or 5 hour conversation. We don't want to make it too detail oriented, but there's a lot of details there, and I think people have to really have a deeper understanding of it in order to implement it and not get caught behind the eight ball when the old deadline is looming, isn't it? So, more from Valander coming up in 2025. You have been listening to the Federal Tech Podcast with John Gilroy. I'd like to thank my guest, Valander Mangan. He is the CIO of a company called D as in Dog, DRT Confidence.
Thank you, John. It was a pleasure to talk to you again.